passing your IELTS test once shouldn't just be something you daydream about, because when you devote your time to learning how this English exam works and practice with test questions, your fears and anxiety will disappear forever. With the right mindset and resources, you can achieve your desired band score in the IELTS exam, whether you need a band 7, band 8, or even a band 9. Join me at Adenike Babalola every Friday for the IELTS weekly specials, as we break down the 4 skills in the IELTS test through detailed explanations, easy to follow practice tests, and stories of other test takers I have trained since 2017. Together, we will dust IELTS and you can finally get that job in the UK, that admission in Australia, or become a permanent resident in Canada. So welcome once again to, you know, the IELTS practice session with me. My name is Adenike Babalola, and today we're going to be looking at the IELTS reading. We're going to attempt practice test on the yes, no, not given question type, which is similar to the true, false, not given question. So if you've not listened to previous episodes of my podcast where I've been teaching IELTS since late December 2023, I encourage you to do that, because it will allow you to, you know, look at questions that you're not really getting as far as the IELTS is concerned. I don't know if you can see this list. This is a list of questions, you know, complex questions that people pointed out to me when I put out a survey. And, you know, based on that survey, I looked at it and said people were asking for live classes. You know, people wanted live classes. And then I decided to look at my schedule and see how we can make it work. So I'm sorry I'm keeping you up late, you know, wherever you are. Nonetheless, we're going to go straight into it, okay? So we're going to do a practice question for the yes, no, not given question type. And I'm going to share my screen right now so that you can see that. So I want to encourage us to please turn off our volumes. Let me just mute everybody. Yes. So I'm going to turn off your volume, your audio, and I'm also going to turn off my video so that we are not distracted by the visual. Okay, so I'm going to stop my video and then we're going to concentrate on what we want to, you know, what we're going to do today. Okay, so allow me to share my screen. So if you have any questions, please feel free to share them in the chat. If you have any concerns or if there's anything you want me to clarify, please let me know and, you know, we'll get to that, okay? So, I want to change, yeah, still the same screen. So, first of all, I want to ask, how many of us are taking the academic tests? Okay, how many people here are taking the academic test? Please, can you put a message? Can you put a message in the chat if you are taking the academic module? Okay, I see that. Thank you. Good. I see that, you know, you raised your hands. Okay, very good. Okay, good. So we're looking at yes, no, not given. Just one question type. That's what we've been doing in previous episodes. We look at one question type per time so that we can practice it and understand before moving to another question type. Okay, so this is the question. This is the practice test we're going to be using in the Cambridge IELTS Book 18 Academic. Okay, we're going to answer these 5 questions together. All right, we're going to answer these 5 questions together and we're starting right now because we want to keep to time. Now, the yes, no, not given question type is similar to the true, false, not given question type. However, the difference is that in true, false, not given, you're looking at the information in the passage. But when it comes to yes, no, not given, of course, the information is in the passage, right? But you are more interested in the view of the writer. Okay, so it means that this particular passage is an expression of the view of the person who has written it. And you want to check, you want to check if what the question statements show here, if those question statements are in agreement with what the writer said. Okay, it's like saying, did Adenike say black and white? Did she say black only? Did she say white only? Did she say gray? That's all you're doing. You're trying to find out if what the examiner, what the viewers, the writer said, you know, is exactly what the question is giving you. Okay, so we're going to use these five question types, and I'm going to provide you with steps that you can use to answer this question. Okay, now the first thing you need to know is the beginning of this question type is to read through the question. Read through this question. You know, you have 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. I'm using the Cambridge IELTS book 18, okay, because this is the edition that was released in 2023, and we're sure that there'll be a new edition this year, 2024. So the first thing you should do is read through these questions. Okay, read through these questions to at least have an idea of what you're going to read. But let me show you something. I want to, you know, scroll back so you can see what the passage looks like. Okay, because of course, if you have a question like this in your exam, you would definitely look at the passage, not necessarily read in depth, but you would at least notice the passage before you go to the question. Okay, so what we have here is the case for mixed ability classes. The case for mixed ability classes. That's the title of this passage. And then I'm scrolling down. You can see names. You can see initials. You can see. Now, what's this? What question type can you see at this point? Okay, what question type can you see at this point? Please type it into the chat. What question type can you see at this point? What's this first question type that you're looking at? Okay. I hope you can still hear me. I hope you are here. Okay, so this first question type is multiple choice question. Okay, you have the multiple choice questions first. That's what you have for questions 27 to 30. Next, we have for 31 to 35, you have summary completion. And this is the one that has the box of options where you have to choose a synonym of the answer you find in the passage. So it means that there are two question types before the main question type that we are covering today. So if you are doing this on your own, or if you see something like this in your exam, what will happen is there's the likelihood that you would at least have come across some of the possible answers while you were attempting the multiple choice question and the summary completion questions. Okay, so we have noticed the passage, we have noticed other question types that you have right there. Okay, now we want to quickly read through this questions, you know, briefly, and then we're going to take note of some words in the question. Okay, so question 36 says the Vygotsky model of education supports the concept of a mixed ability class. Okay, it supports the concept of a mixed ability class. Now, if you were to answer a question like this, what is one word, or what are the things you think you would take note of? What words do you think you would take note of in this sentence? What do you think you would take note of? Remember that the things you take note of, the things you observe, are the things you are most likely to, you know, you most likely meet them, and you will use them to get your answers in the passage. Okay, so what are the things you take note of? You take note of the names. You take note of nouns. You take, as you know, proper nouns now. You also take note of things like verbs, adverbs, adjectives. Exactly. Okay, so this Vygotsky model of education. Thank you. You're correct. Okay, now this supports is also important, because it is either it supports it or it does not support it. You know, it can be yes or no. All right. Now, another part of it that is important is concept of a mixed ability class. Now, we know that we have seen this word mixed ability already. That mixed ability is in the title, is already in the title of the passage. Okay. So what I need you to take note of is, if you are practicing with a print book, a paper back book, please use your pencil to underline Vygotsky model of education. You underline support, and then you underline concept of a mixed ability class. Why are you doing that? You are trying to absorb the information, but then you're also going to do something else. The next thing you want to do is ask yourself, did this model of education support the concept of a mixed ability class. Now, concept, another word for concept can be the idea or the process of doing something, not necessarily process, but more of the, you know, an idea or the conception of something. Okay, let's try it this way. Let's do it this way. A way of doing something, right? That's what you want to do. So you are reading the question. You are taking note of certain words, and then you are converting these words to questions in your mind. You're converting this question statement into a question in your mind, so that when you go back to the passage, you're going to locate those words together. Now, let me say something at this point. You remember that I told you to underline about three things: the Vygotsky model of education, supports, and then the concept of a mixed ability class. Those three things you have taken note of, if you find every element of that in the same way, not because the passage might use the exact words, the passage is likely to use different words. Many times the question paraphrases what the passage said. But paraphrasing, of course, means that it will still mean the same thing, but then the words will be slightly different. So it means that when you go back to the question, you can expect that some of these words will not be the exact same words used. However, if you can find all the words together, if you find that the meaning of 36, it means that there's a particular model and it supports. What's another word for supports the concept? What's another word for supports? Can somebody help us? I'm explaining 36 and we're going to use the same idea for 37, 38, 39 and 40. So if you say that a model of education supports the concept of a mixed ability class, it means that, you know, can somebody just give us a synonym for supports so that I don't have to supply it directly? If you're listening via the podcast, you know, please remember that you can interact with me via social media as Mother Isn't Mother on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on X, which is formerly Twitter, and which other platforms? Almost all the platforms you have. Thank you. Agrees to and aid. Okay, so for those listening via the podcast or who will listen via the podcast, you can communicate with me via, you know, social media, okay, as Mother Isn't Mother. But for those who are here right now, you know, we are doing this together, and as I said, the video will be available later, as from next week, as from February 5, you have the replay of all of these episodes that we have completed. Thank you. So it means that this model of education agrees with, it goes. Okay, I'll do that. I don't want to have to interrupt our timing now, okay? Thank you, I'll share it later on. So the point is, it means that this model of education it goes with that, this idea of a mixed ability class. And in your mind, what do you think a mixed ability class means? It means that you might have a class of students where some students are very good and some are not very good. By very good, I mean intelligence level. Okay, some know more than others, something like that. So you want to ask yourself, this model of education, did it agree with this concept? Did it endorse the concept of, okay, you should have a class where there are students of mixed abilities? Now, I'm going to take that same strategy and apply it to 37, 38, 39, and 40, okay? 37 says, some teachers are uncertain about allowing students to take on MKO roles in the classroom. I'll read that again. Some teachers are uncertain about allowing students to take on MKO roles in the classroom. Now, when you listen to this statement in your mind, or merely looking at it, what are some things that are standing out to you? What are some words that stand out to you? What are some words that stand out? What is, when you look at it, what do you think you will quickly catch or you'll quickly pay attention to? Okay, what are some words you think you will quickly pay attention to? Okay, so I'm reading your comment. Thank you, I'm certain. MKO Rose, thank you. I see that, exactly. Okay, so those are two things that will stand out. But I want to show you another thing that can be slightly different. Look at this sum. S-O-M-E, sum. Sum is one word that can be changed to many, right? It can also be changed to all. Okay, back in 2020, I think I called some of these words trick words. Okay, when you find that a word can change its form and then mean something else, it means that that word has been inserted into that sentence to confuse you to an extent. So we want to know here, uncertain is very important. Okay, uncertain. What's another word for uncertain? Okay, what's another word? They are not sure. They are undecided. Okay, what's another, you know, those are possible words. Feel free to share your thoughts in the chat. Okay, so it means that they are not sure. Yeah, probability, under probability. Thank you. About allowing students to take on MKO roles. When they say take on MKO roles, it means that, thank you, yes, not sure, maybe, yes. Okay, they are not sure whether they can allow students to take on these roles. It means that there are certain roles that they can take in the classroom, and some teachers don't know if they want to allow students to take on those roles. Okay, so you would ask yourself, okay, is there any part in the passage where they said some teachers are not sure whether they would allow students to take on these roles? That's how you process it in your mind. If you can convert the question statement into an actual question in your mind, using paraphrase, using synonyms, you are already preparing your mind to find the answer. Okay, now I'm taking my time to explain it, because as soon as we go to the passage, we are going to find them, because you now understand it better. Okay, let me do the same thing for 38. It can be rewarding to teach knowledge which you have only recently acquired. Let me read that again. It can be rewarding to teach knowledge which you have only recently acquired. Now, I want you to tell me, what are the words that you are catching? What words are you noticing in this sentence? What words are standing out? What words or phrases are standing out to you? Thank you, recently acquired. Thank you, knowledge. Okay, knowledge. Yes, recently, thank you. Can be rewarding, can, yes, because if it is not can, as in positive, then it means that it is on the other side. But there's something more, there's another word. Can anybody put that word? Rewarding. Rewarding. When you say something is rewarding, what does it mean? When you say something is rewarding, what does it mean? Can somebody help us with a synonym of rewarding? Satisfaction. Thank you. There is satisfaction. It is beneficial. It's profitable. Thank you. It's gainful. Yes, they are all near synonyms. Exactly. So if you're going to re-say this, you know, you're going to say this statement to yourself again, it means you say something like this. It can be, you know, exciting or profitable, or there's a benefit, or there's a satisfaction, or a particular gain that comes with passing on the knowledge that you recently acquired. What does recently acquired mean in this context? It means that, you know, you just learned something and you are teaching it to somebody else, and there is a joy that comes with that. Okay, so when we go back to the passage, your concern, your assignment is to ask yourself, is there any joy that comes with teaching the knowledge that you just learned? It's more like you just discovered something and you are teaching somebody else. Okay, like I just learned to prepare a meal and I'm teaching somebody how to prepare that meal. Is there any joy, or excitement that comes with that? Thank you. I like how engaged we are, and I think I'm seeing the benefit of this session. So thank you for your responses so far. Please, if you have any questions, put them in the chat. I will read them. And, you know, if I don't respond right now, I will respond at the end of the session. But let's apply these same strategies to 39 and 40 before we go to the passage. Okay. 39 says the priority should be to ensure that the highest achieving students attain their goals. The priority should be to ensure that the highest achieving students attain their goals. So I will ask you again, what words are standing out to you? What words are very noticeable? Thank you. Priority, ensure, goals. Thank you, Atin. Thank you. There's another important one. there is one more important one that I don't want you to miss. Thank you for your responses. There is one more important one. Is anybody sharing that? Or I should just say it. Highest achieving students. Highest. Look at highest. That's a superlative. High, higher, highest. So it means that if you don't have highest, what will you have? Higher or high? But of course, we don't think about it like that. We think about it in the full sense of the compound word, highest achieving. Now, you tell me, what is a synonym for highest achieving? For those listening via the podcast, please remember that you can connect with me on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, which is X, on, you know, Facebook, on TikTok, on LinkedIn as well. Okay, so highest achieving students, what's another name you call them? Students who are performing very well. Like the brainy students in Nigeria, I know we'll say Efiko or Efiwe, if I can use those expressions. But in this case, we're saying you're talking about students who are the best performing students, who are, thank you, best performance, thank you. So priority, what does priority mean? What's another word for priority? Priority, what does priority mean? It means that it is the most important thing, the concern, what we should, thank you, important, what we should focus on. Okay, most important, thank you. So it means that according to this number 39, we want to find out if the writer said that the most important thing is to make sure, okay, or see to it, that I'm using synonyms for ensure, to see to it that the best students attain their goals. What does it mean to attain your goal? What does it mean to attain your goal? To achieve the result that you are aiming for, to get what you want to get. Now you ask yourself the question, did the writer say that it is very important to make sure that the best performing students achieve their results? Is that what the writer said? Okay, that's for 39. Now let us go to 40. The last one before we go to the question. Because you have explained them to yourself like this, I can assure you that you quickly find your answers. Some of the people who completed the survey that I put out at the end of 2023 said they want to have, you know, the fastest way to find their answers. And I've always told my students that the best way to do this is to interpret the question to yourself. Once you can put the question in your mouth, chew it and swallow it, you will find your answers quickly. Let's do 40 and then get our answers. Taking part in collaborative outwork activities with teachers and classmates can improve students' outcomes in the classroom. This one is quite long because, you know, the subject is taking part in collaborative outdoor activities and with teachers and classmates. That's the subject. Okay, now improve students' outcomes in the classroom. You just tell me, what are you noticing? Okay, what are you noticing? What are you noticing? It means you should take part in, you know, when they do things that involve being outdoor with their teachers and all of it, you know, their teachers and classmates, it means that they will perform better in the classroom. So you ask yourself, did the passage say that they can perform better? Thank you. Collaborative outdoor. Exactly. Those are the things you pay attention to. Okay. So that the passage say that they would perform better. Okay. Now, the point is we have gone through all the questions. And the next thing for you is to ask yourself if all these things are in agreement with what the writer said. Now, I'm going to scroll back to the passage. Okay. I'm going to scroll back to the passage and then we will find the answer. Remember that I said that two question types have already come up in this question, okay? So, you know, we just need to find, do you remember the first thing that we saw in this 36? Let's look for Vygotsky model of education, okay? Vygotsky model of education, and then this idea of a mixed ability class. We're going to scroll back up to look for my Vygotsky. But please, if you are attempting, when you're practicing alone, I encourage you not to use the book on the computer. Please make sure you have a print book. It will make your reading easier. Okay, please make sure you have a print book. All right. Now, what do you have here? I can see Vygotsky here. I can see mixed ability class up here as well. Okay, so I just want to read through this place. Remember that we are trying to find if this model of education supports, you know, having a mixed class, mixed ability class. This is where we see more about that information. In this particular paragraph, okay, we can see Vygotsky. I don't know if you can see the name here. If you can, please just, you know, you can type yes in the chat. Okay, so you see this dimension of this Vygotsky is in this paragraph. Now, we want to see, you can see it. Thank you. So did this person support, did this model of education support, you know, the idea of having a mixed ability class? We already know that's what the paragraph is about. So look through this place. In the 1930s, Vygotsky emphasized the importance of targeting a student's specific zone of proximal development, which is the ZPD. This is the gap between what they can achieve only with support, teachers, textbooks, worked examples, parents, and so on, and what they can achieve independently. The purpose of teaching is to provide and then gradually remove this scaffolding until they are autonomous. If we accept this model, this is exact. I read the previous lines to key you in into where you should find it. Okay, so when you have read your questions, you need to come and find where you will find your answers. You come back to the passage to locate where your those question statements are. Okay, now you see, if we accept this model, remember that we saw the model, that word model in the question. Okay, it says it follows that streaming students with similar ZPDs would be an efficient an effective solution, and that forcing everyone on the same hike regardless of aptitude would be madness. Let me explain what we just read. I want to tell you that when you do yes, no, not given, it is not as direct as true, false, not given. With yes, no, not given, it feels as if you really need to understand what the writer said. And in here, we've already seen that. You see, it says we want to remove, it says remove the scaffolding until they are autonomous. Now, if we accept this model, it follows that streaming students, what does it mean to stream? You are narrowing down, you are narrowing down students. With students, you know, with similar ZPDs will be an efficient and effective solution. It means you can't have different kinds. You have to have the same of the same kind together. Now look at the word that you should pay at, two words, and that forcing everyone on the same hike regardless of aptitude would be madness. Now remember that the question said, if we, you know, does this model of education support the concept of a mixed ability class? What the writer is saying here is, if you force all the students to be on the same hike, irrespective of their abilities, it will be madness. It means it will be madness to put the students of different abilities together because you are forcing everyone, regardless of aptitude. Now, I want you to look at the question again and then tell me what you think the answer is. Okay? I want you to look at the question again and tell me what the answer is. The Vygotsky model of education supports the concept of a mixed ability class. Does this model of education support that you should put different students together? That's the question I have for you. Does it support or does it go against it? Based on what we saw in the passage, does it support it or does it go against it? I'm showing you the question so you can compare it with what we have in the passage. Now, I'm going to wait for your responses, but I want to show you the similarities. Remember that we have you've seen this part where it says mixed ability classes. You already have this initial part. Now we have found the Vygotsky model. Look down. Look at this point. Okay? Look at this point. Please just type in the chat. Look at this point. It says, if we accept this model, it follows. So it means that this model says this is what we should do. So if you follow this model, it means that you will stream students with similar ZPDs. It means that the students that are the same are the ones we will put together. That is where you have an effective solution. But if you force everyone on the same hike, if you force students that have different ZPDs, you know, zone of proximal development together, irrespective, regardless of their aptitude, it will be madness. When you say something is going to be madness, it means that that thing will not work. That thing would be wrong. That thing would not work. And so according to what we have here, this model of education does not support that you should have a mixed ability class. It does not support that you should have a mixed ability class. What this model is saying is group the students. Yes, I think some people's volume are on. Please do that. I don't want to have to be distracted. Okay? So you have, if you put students that are the same together, it will be effective. But if you put students that are mixed, that have different abilities together, it would be madness. So looking back at the question where it says the Vygotsky model of education supports the concept of mixed ability class, what you have is no, it does not support. Because it says put the people that are the same together. If you put everybody that are different, if you put people that are different together, it will be madness. Okay, so I'm sure you see that there's an extra level of thinking involved. You need to understand what the writer said. And remember that the question statement will always be a summary of the actual information in the passage. Thank you. I hope you get it. It's just about you understanding what you saw in the passage and then realizing if it is the same as what the question is asking you. Okay, so 37, we're going to go on to 37. Now 37 says, some teachers are uncertain about allowing students to take on MKO roles in the classroom. Let's go and look for where that is located in the passage. Okay, let's look for where that. So we need to see where they talk about MKO. I want to look for MKO. Okay, can you see MKO on this line? Can you see MKO? Can anybody see MKOs in classrooms? So, yes, you can see while streaming might seem. Okay, so that's where it is. Okay, so looking at this part, you have while streaming might seem to help teachers effectively target a student's ZPD, it can underestimate the importance of peer-to-peer learning. A crucial aspect of constructivist theory is the role of the MKO, more knowledgeable other, in knowledge construction. While teachers are traditionally the MKOs in classrooms, okay? While teachers are traditionally the MKOs in classrooms, the value of knowledgeable student pairs must not go unrecognized either. Remember the question. Do you remember the question? The question said, some teachers are uncertain about allowing students to take on MKO roles in the classroom. Now, it means that teachers are not sure if they will allow students to take on these roles. This is exactly what we are meant to find in the passage, if this is what the writer said. Okay? And if we have the opposite of this, it's going to be no. And if we have that something is missing, then we have not given. So let's go and find out. Based on what you just read, you know, they've said, okay, teachers are traditionally the MKOs in the class. And they've tried to tell us what this means, okay? Now it says the more knowledgeable other. What you have here, can you see where they said teachers are not sure whether they want to allow students to take on these roles? Can you see anything like that? Please type it into the chat. Can you see anything about teachers not being sure? Yeah, no, you can't see anything like that. So what do you think is the answer? Thank you for your responses. So what do you think is the answer? You can't see. Remember that if it is the opposite, it's going to be no. If it is exactly like that, it's going to be yes. But if you cannot find something, you know that the writer, you don't know what the writer thinks. What the writer told us is that teachers are traditionally, you know, I can zoom back, but I don't know if you still see it very well. I don't know if you can see it. So remember what I said. If something is not, I'm not sure if you can see it. It feels a little far. Let me zoom it. It says, while teachers are traditionally the MKOs in classrooms. The value of knowledgeable student peers must not go unrecognized either. Can you see anything about, you know, the teachers are not sure whether they should allow students, you know, to take on these roles? No, we can't see that. We only see that they are the ones who take on these roles in the class, and we see that they, you know, it is saying that they should not ignore the fact that there can be some students who also, you know, be knowledgeable and can play this role as well. But it does not tell us that they are not sure. It does not tell us that there's the uncertainty about them taking on the classes. And so when you cannot find a piece of information, it is not given. Of course, we found information about teachers and we found information about MKOs, but we did not find information about uncertainty. There is no information about uncertainty, and that is why our answer is not given. I hope you understand it. I hope it is clear. Okay, let's go on to 38. I promise to spend between 40 to 50 minutes, so I want to keep to that time. Number 38, it can be rewarding. Let me scroll down to the question so you see the question again. Okay, that was too fast. Okay, so can you see the question now? Number 38 says, it can be rewarding to teach knowledge which you have only recently acquired. Remember how we paraphrased it? It can be satisfying to teach something that you just learned. Do you remember that? Now, we want to go back and see if there was any part where they said anything about teaching what you just learned, about you getting a reward. You know, we've used some previous paragraphs for the previous questions. Now let's look at this next place. This is what follows. I see teachers, I see skills and knowledge. Can somebody see what I'm seeing? Can you see what I'm seeing? If you're listening on the podcast, I know you can't see this right now. So remember that the videos will be available from February 5. That's from, you know, the coming week. The videos are going to be available for you to watch, but I'm going to read it out so you see what I'm talking about. I'm going to read this particular area to you. They operate, this is in the next paragraph. They operate with different language tools and different social tools from teachers, and having just learnt it themselves, they possess similar cognitive structures to their struggling classmates. There is also something exciting about passing on skills and knowledge that you yourself have just mastered. A certain pride and zeal, a certain freshness to the interaction between teacher and learner that is often lost by the expert for whom the steps are obvious and the joy of discovery forgotten. I read it to you so that you will remember the question. The question said, it can be rewarding to teach knowledge which you have only recently acquired. Which word looks like rewarding? Which word looks like knowledge you only recently acquired? Can you tell me, based on what you can see on the passage, what can you see that looks like teaching knowledge, rewarding, recently learned, okay, or recently acquired? Can you see there is also just mastered. Thank you. There is also something exciting about passing on skills and knowledge. Thank you that you yourself have just mastered. A certain pride and zeal. What do you think this answer is? Based on the synonyms, yes, thank you. The answer is yes, because exciting in this case is the paraphrase of, or is the synonym for rewarding. Okay, teach knowledge. We talked about skills and knowledge, and then which you have recently mastered, only recently acquired. You have just mastered. So we see the agreement in the passage and in what the writer said in the passage. I want to show you again. Okay, there's something exciting about passing on skills and knowledge that you yourself have just mastered. Okay, that shows you what we are talking about. But sometimes we're not giving. You need to read more than one sentence. When you read more than one sentence, you're able to see the full idea of what the writer is talking about. Okay. okay, somebody is joining the group. Okay, so we've picked our answers for number. Thank you for your engagement so far. I want to scroll down so that you can see the next question. Oh, something is happening to the, it's not responding. Okay, fine. So we've picked our answers for 36, 37, 38. 37, 36, 37, 38. Okay, so our answer for 36 was no. Okay, the model does not support it. And then the answer for 37 was that we don't know what teachers, you know, if teachers are uncertain, because the writer did not say. And for 38, we saw that, you know, it can be rewarding to teach knowledge which you have only recently acquired. It means that there is an excitement that comes with, you know, passing on something you just mastered. Now let's look at number 39. The priority should be to ensure that the highest achieving students attain their goals. So when we go back, now I want to ask ourselves, did they say that it is important for only those who are best performing to do well, to get the results they need? Okay, so we need to look at, we've already looked at this paragraph, so we need to come to this next paragraph. Sometimes it is like that. The passage, the questions cover different paragraphs in the passage. Okay, so look at this point. Look at this point. Let's see this. Having a variety of different abilities in a collaborative learning environment. Sorry, I want to zoom it closer so you can see it better. Provides valuable resources for helping students meet their learning needs, not to mention improving their communication and social skills. Okay, having a variety of different abilities in a collaborative learning environment provides valuable resources for helping students meet their learning needs, not to mention improving their communication and social skills. And today, more than ever, we need the many to flourish, not suffer at the expense of a few bright stars. Today, more than ever, we need the many to flourish, not suffer at the expense of a few bright stars. Remember what the question said. The priority is to ensure that high achieving students attain their goals. Based on what we just read here, what is the writer focusing on? Is it that the bright stars should be the ones to achieve their goals, or everybody? I want you to look at this. And today, more than ever, this more than ever shows you it is important now. It is important today. It says we need the many to flourish. Everybody, thank you, everybody. It says we need the many, many, everybody, many to flourish. Everybody should do well, not suffer at the expense of a few bright stars. So it means that we're not focusing on only a few bright stars. It's not only the few bright stars that would do well. It is everybody. Remember that if what the question says is the opposite of what the writer said, it will be no. The writer in this case, what do you think the writer is saying? If the writer says everybody, many, but the question said, you know, ensure that the highest, let me show you the question. Again, I want you to say the question again. The question says the priority should be to ensure that the highest achieving students attain their goals. Okay? Highest achieving students. It means that are we focusing on just the best students or everybody? In this case, you have said everybody, and that's what the writer said. So our answer is going to be what? Our answer is no. We need the many to flourish. Thank you. We need many to flourish, not few, not the bright stars. We need many. The focus is not on highest achieving students. Today, more than ever, is the same thing as priority. We want those, we don't want just some to do well. We want everybody to do well. We want many to flourish. So you see that these two sentences put together help you to understand. Of course, this sentence alone might lead you to the answer, but you will need context. You will need a little bit of context, and that's why you need to read more than one sentence to truly understand what the writer is saying. I'm going to rush on now to answer the last question, because I promise to keep to time, and I'm trying to do that. We're on the verge of spilling over to the next, so, you know, past 50 minutes. Now, the last question says, taking part. Let me go back to it. Okay, so the last question for this reading says, taking part in collaborative outdoor activities with teachers and classmates can improve student outcomes in the classroom. So it means that if they do things with their teachers and their classmates outdoors, okay, if they do things together with their teachers and classmates when they go out, maybe for activities, you know, in the community or for field trips and the rest of them, when they participate in those things, does it affect their outcome when they come to the class? That's what you're going to look for when you go back to the passage. What they do outside with their teachers and their students, does it affect what they produce, what their results will be in the classroom? Does it affect their performance? Now let's read what is left of the passage. Once a year, I go on a hike with my class, a mixed bunch of students. It is challenging. The fittest students realize they need to encourage the reluctant. There are lookouts who report back and extra items to carry for others. We make it together. So you see that, what is the writer talking about? The writer is talking about going hiking with his students, and then it is challenging. The strong students encourage those who are reluctant, and then they carry things for people and they make it together. Did they say anything about their performance in class? Can you see anything about how this hiking affects their performance in class? Can you see anything? Should I show you the question? Let me show you the question again. The question says, taking part in collaborative outdoor activities with teachers and classmates can improve students' outcomes in the classroom. Thank you. There is nothing about the outcome in the classroom. Yes, we see that they are going out. They are doing things together. They went hiking. This writer is talking about going hiking with his students. But we don't see where, we cannot see that information about the improvements in students' outcomes. When you cannot see something, it means you don't know, because the writer did not say it. So what is the answer going to be? Not giving. Thank you. Information that you cannot see is not provided. It is not given. Information that the writer does not give you, that the passage does not give you, does not exist. Yes, you might see some parts of, which is what we saw, the part about going outdoors. Hiking is outdoors. And we see them doing things together, but we cannot see where that activity improves their performance in class. So the answer is not given. Okay, thank you so much for staying with me till the end. This is the end of this yes, no, not given practice. However, I want to add a few things. This is similar to true, false, not given, but this one requires a bit more, you know, it is a little more mentally tasking. And that is why you will find it more in the academic passage. It is usually in academic passages. It is in general training, you will find mostly true, false, not given. So if you're taking the academic test, make sure you're good at answering true, false, not given and yes, no, not given questions. You know, matching headings. I have another episode. There's an episode on the podcast for matching headings. Okay, please make sure you listen to that one as well. Okay, make sure you listen to that one as well. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining. Remember that you can connect with me on social media as at Mother Isn't Mother. Okay, let me just type it. Mother, I'm using my podcast to teach IELTS. I started the podcast show, you know, about almost over 2 years ago. Okay, I started it over 2 years ago with the intention of teaching IELTS on it. But I could not do that because I started with the training online. But now that, you know, the online training already has its footing, I am now adding the podcast to my, you know, my pool of resources. So there's a YouTube channel, there's the online training, there you have the ebooks, you have the, you know, and everything else. Those taking the paid training have the Telegram group, they have the one-on-one sessions, they have the evaluation sessions and all of that. So thank you so much. So please, you find me on Instagram, on, you know, just type this name in full, Mother Isn't Mother Podcast, on TikTok, on LinkedIn, on what other platforms do you have? Facebook, Twitter, which is X, and all. Okay, so thank you so much. I wish you all the best. If you'd like to, if you're not receiving my emails, okay, please you can probably reach out to me, so you can receive emails from me. You can do, there's also the link, those using the listening on the podcast, you'll find the newsletter link in the podcast show notes, so that you can join the newsletter and you can receive updates. Hopefully I want to hear back from you if this live session worked. I know that it is late night in Nigeria and the UK, but I just wanted to, this is, it's almost 7 a.m here, but I wanted to see if it would work. And if you think we can do this again, please let me know. Let me know if you think we can do this again, and I'll let you know when the next meeting is going to be, okay? Thank you so much. I wish you a wonderful rest. I wish you a wonderful day wherever you are, and we will see you again. All right, God bless you. Bye. So what did you learn from today's episode? What is that new thing you're taking away from this session? Remember that getting your dream IELTS result boils down to how you prepare and what resources you prepare with. If you would like to join my online IELTS training program, where you watch me explain each skill in detail and practice each question type under the four skills in the IELTS test, click the link in the show notes below. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please rate and review this podcast show and share this episode with somebody you know who is also preparing for the IELTS test. Let us meet again next Friday for another chance to dust the IELTS test and achieve your study, work, or immigration goals. I am Adenike Babalola, and you just listened to IELTS Weekly Specials on Mother Isn't Mother. Bye!